3, 2, 1. Hey, you ever heard of Urban Float, Paul?
I have.
What do you think?
I've heard great things. Nice. My manager assistant, Nina, has been several times.
Well, if you like to relax and disconnect, you should check out Urban Float in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, located next to Rosenfeld's Jewish Deli in the new Ocean Atlantic Shopping Center on Route 1 North. Guests of Urban Float get to relax and float. You know, the guy that wrote this, they're very wordy.
Yeah.
I tell him, dude, too many words.
Too many words.
Corporate. Who's behind right. this?
Yeah.
Guests of Urban Float get to relax and float in their own flotation pod filled with purified skin temperature water and 1,200 pounds of dissolved Epsom salts. The health benefits are profound. I love it.
I would love it. I got to try it. Do you know anybody?
I do. Do I pull you some strings?
Okay, please.
All right, we'll see what we can do. You can book your first float. Listen to this. You can book your first float at urbanfloat.com. Just be sure to select the Rehoboth Beach location and use the code first time and check out and receive 50% off your first float. Renew, refresh, and revive at Urban Float. That wasn't too painful.
No.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yeah, just barely.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm still on Tuscan time.
Tuscan time.
Which is only 6:10 in the morning.
You know, I'm Italian, and I couldn't tell you anything about Italy.
So how do you pronounce your name?
Arcino.
Oh, good. At least you pronounce it right. Because the key, C-H-I, is Chianti. I always look at that. Yeah. So
I always say my name should be spelled A-R-K-I-N-O.
Mm-hmm.
Because 99.9% of the time, it's Arcino.
That's what I thought, yeah.
I say, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, it is what it is. So what, you haven't been to Italy?
Should I have been?
You know who told me, 10 years ago when I went for the first time, somehow got a job as an Italian wine importing company.
Mm-hmm.
People I met at Nage at the bar. That's why we always sit at the bar. You never know who you're going to meet.
Mm.
And the next thing I know, I'm
never know what story you're going to hear either.
Well, that's true, yeah. I met Paul Galeato and Trish. They live in Kings Creek. They're owners of Portovino Italian wine imports.
Nice.
The next thing I knew, I got a call from Italy the next day, and I was selling Italian wine. And so I figured if I was going to learn, if I was going to sell their wine, I needed to meet the people. So I went over, me and my wife, 10 years ago, went over for the first time and met all my producers. So I knew the backstory, so I could go into a place or when I'm talking about wine, pouring wine, I can say, hey, this is, Filippo's story from Trentino Alto Adige, Italy, and show pictures because I was there. So
well, I would like to go to Italy. Mm-hmm. It's just I haven't been able to.
Yeah.
I got kids
I know a guy who actually takes groups of people to Italy.
Oh, is that you?
Yeah, it's me.
Can I go, Paul, with you?
You can.
Well, that might be something to do. Up until this point in my life, Italy has not been an option.
Hmm.
It's just basically pulling it together, work every day, kids, building businesses, doing all sorts of different things. I like Albuquerque.
Yeah. I played there. It's awesome.
I love New Mexico.
New Mexico's beautiful.
I'd like to go to Italy, but I've become a little bit more paranoid about flying and a little bit more paranoid about the world.
Yeah, yeah. Luckily, nothing has happened like that in Italy.
Nothing's happened anywhere, honestly. It's just the kind of the news kind of creates this anxiety.
It can happen on your way to Albuquerque, too, so don't.
Absolutely.
I would just think, just think as an Italian, that you would want to go to the mother country because it's life-changing. And you know who told me that was Matt DiSabatino. He used to own, when Kindle was right here.
Yeah.
And, you own Striper Bites Kindle and Half Full. He said, when I went the first time, he said, it's going to be life-changing, and he was completely right.
Well, I do want to go.
Okay.
So I'll have to get some literature from you.
Yeah. So we take groups there at least once a year, next year twice.
What's a trip like?
What's it like?
I sign up.
Yeah. So this one that we just did, I just got back yesterday, and last night around 7 o'clock we got home. We go to a vineyard in Tuscany, and we stay at the vineyard. They have a villa for 16 rooms.
Okay.
We go there, and we do day trips during the day. We go to Siena, amazing city. We can go to Florence. We can go to wineries throughout Italy and have a wine lunch, visit towns, medieval towns that we can go shopping at, which the women love. And then we come back for dinner every night overlooking the vineyard on the veranda. So, and we all hang together. We all go on the same bus. We all have a blast together.
And this is a trip you set up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, between me and Annette from Accent on Travel. And she did our first group trip in 2014. And we just finished our seventh group trip. And we have 8 and 9 coming up next year.
That's pretty sweet.
It's awesome. I didn't know. Somebody that was working for Annette said, hey, you should talk to Paul Cullen. He's got this cool thing happening with, you know, food, wine, and music.
Do we know the price or do we want to say the price? Or
well, that one is, I'm not sure what the average price is. Probably $3,500 per person.
Okay.
Includes, you know, all your food and your accommodations.
That's not bad.
No, it's not bad at all. And, you know, next year we're doing a tall sailing ship from Rome to Lisbon, or Rome to Sicily. Our first trip was actually Rome to Lisbon in 2014, but this June of 2020, we're going to get on a tall sailing ship and sail from Rome to Sicily and hit all the islands in between.
Wow.
Yeah, that's super cool. And then there's a pre, which means we go before. We already have it sold out, 16 rooms at the villa where we just were. So we're going to have 32 people with us there and then total of 54 people on the cruise, which is nuts. So Annette from Max Island Travel is actually going to join us to help me.
What's the travel, please?
Accent on Travel. She's right behind the point, you know, in Rehoboth, on Rehoboth Avenue. Yep.
Well, I had the lady from Jet Set Travel on the podcast.
Yeah.
And she was nice. So that's...
Well, Annette's awesome. I don't know what anybody else is like, but I've done several with her, and she ends up being great. Her and Rick, her husband, are great friends of mine and my wife's.
Yeah. Well, that's not. Yeah,
and she takes care of the logistics. You know, I could probably do them myself, but then again, I don't need to add another layer of difficulty. You know, it's hard enough. Keeping track of 23 people when you're walking around Siena, it's like herding kittens. You know.
So, is this the same trip over and over? Do you do a different trip?
We do
every
different
year?
Trips also, but this one was so highly talked about and sought after that people that couldn't go this year want to go next year. So, we're going to set up pretty close to the same trip next September. But in June, we're doing a completely different, which is a tall sailing ship.
That sounds cool.
Ship actually sails. It's the only one of that size. It's like 400 feet. So there's only 200 people on the actual cruise, and we have 54 of those out of the 220. Yeah.
I'd be nervous because I get very seasick.
Yeah. It's probably not one for – but although the Mediterranean is a lot calmer than like the bigger bodies of water, because we stay in – the upper part of the Mediterranean where Rome and and Sicily are. You know, so we've been in that area on boats and never had a problem. But some of our friends have those problems and they wear those patches, you know, on the back of their necks or their butts or wherever they put them. It seemed to. Yeah.
I had such a bad experience getting seasick that I'm just so scared I just won't even try a patch. I won't commit to something they're not going to turn around for.
They're definitely not turning around.
Like,
no. They're going to say, David, put more patches on you and
buckle down, son.
Buckle down.
Well, I got invited on a deep sea fishing trip, and I was like, nope. Because I know they're not turning around.
Right.
If you're out there, you just might as well
go. If you're 54
lay down.
Miles out, you're
there's
not
no
turning
around because I can't hold down my soup.
Right. Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, I live in this town, I see what's going on, and you're what's going on. And I reached out to you. I'm like, hey, I love what you're doing. You got your game going. Want to come on the podcast? I didn't even know you did trips. I always just see, I know you're, you know, I grew up playing guitar.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a big guitar player. I played it. I always say I learned enough of the song until you could recognize it. Then I went to the next song.
That's a good way of going, I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, I always wanted the glory without the work.
Sure, sure.
So, yeah. But I always appreciate guitar. And, I appreciate the restaurant business. It's a big part of our area here is our restaurants. Beaches and restaurants and complaining about traffic are three things that we got going on here.
And we have some world-class musicians in this town, too, which is incredible. And chefs. I mean, it's actually incredible. As small as the town is or the area is, you know, we have so many talented people here.
We do.
I couldn't pick a better place, or maybe that's why I do what I do, is because I was here.
Well, we had a podcast. I did a podcast that just posted this morning with Jim Rezek. Do you know Jim?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
Musician, right, from Dover? Yeah. I've been on his radio show.
He's a cool guy.
Very cool. Yeah, he has a little mini, and he gives guitar lessons. So he's
a guitar teacher.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, banjo and all sorts of stuff.
He's great.
I loved him, and he was on probably, I guess it was a week and a half ago, and I loved his style. I loved the guy's, just his personality, and he's like, you know, I'll come down anytime you want to do a podcast. So I want to have him come back, but I want to have him come down like Carlos, who is a guy that does podcasts with me, but he's a big guitar player. So I said, I'll have you come down and have Carlos on, and we'll all bring in guitars and just screw around. You know Mr. Walt Hetfield?
Of course.
He was just on.
Oh, was he?
His podcast posts Thursday. He's a great guy. He taught my one son drums. He's taught all my kids music through the elementary schools. So he's been a great guy. So I love guitar. Maybe I'll actually have you on another time. We'll bring another guitar so you guys can jam or something.
For sure. Yeah, or a violinist. I have a violinist friend from DC.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Now do you have a band or is
No,
it just...
no, only just like this, like I don't have a restaurant. You know, I go to people's houses and I cook and I hire as I need. Mm-hmm. And when I do events, and usually the only public events I do for music are at the Milton Theater.
Right.
I do three a year there, and I'm on the advisory board there also. But it's called my events there in at the Milton Theater are called Paul Collin and Friends. So every time we've done an event, I have a different group of friends. So
nice.
Yeah, it kind of keeps it fresh and fun. And then if it was a Paul Collin band, I have several people that I can pick to play, you know, with.
Well, what I like to do with these podcasts is that we know you were born. We know you're on the planet,
yep.
And we see what we have, you know, your events that you do. I like to try to figure out the bridge that got you mm-hmm. there. So maybe just share, you want to share a little of your story? Just talk about, because somebody was saying that, did you play in Bad Company?
Yeah, I was the bass player in Bad Company in the early 90s.
I love Bad Company.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, I saw them in 76 when I was 16. Mm. I didn't even start playing bass until I was 20. So I was still an athlete in high school in Buffalo, New York. When I was 16, I saw Kansas open up for Bad Company, and I actually went to see Kansas because I was a big Kansas fan.
Big time.
And then, if somebody would have said, I was 16 years old, soccer star, basketball star, played tennis. If somebody would have said, hey, dude, you're going to play in that band in 14 years, I would have said, are you high? Because I didn't even play an instrument yet. Mm. You know what I mean? So, 14 years later, I was rocking and rolling with Bad Company all over the United States and parts of the world.
So I'm going to how does that happen?
Yeah, you know, a lot of hard work and being in the right place at the right time and being a good person and easy to get along with.
Right.
You know, I didn't start till I was 20.
Did they have auditions? Open auditions?
I auditioned, and if I didn't get the job, they were going to call somebody else. So they basically had their mind made up.
Right.
I met the singer at the time from Bad Company and the singer from AC/DC and the bass player from AC/DC down in Fort Myers, Florida, where I lived.
So who was the singer at the time?
Brian Howe.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't Paul Rogers. I wish. I still might be in the band.
Yeah, Paul Rogers is pretty... I always say he's got the rock and roll voice.
He's amazing. And I knew those guys down in Fort Myers. I had a great band called the Boys of Summer. My great friend, Michael Daisy, who is from Lewis, Delaware, was in the band down in Florida with me. We formed it together. And they played one of our songs on the radio station called Little Black Book. We opened up for REO Speedwagon and Molly Hatchet and whoever came into town. So the guys from AC/DC and Bad Company, it's a small town, Fort Myers, and they used to come and see our bands play.
Yeah,
and our band play and sit in with us. Like on a Wednesday night, we'd be playing some dive bar in Fort Myers Beach, and the singer from AC/DC, Brian Johnson, would come in with his wife and hang out. So it was cool. And we had a really, really good band. The song being played on the radio and opening up for big acts. So we had to be good friends with them all. And then when the job came up for Bad Company, the original guy didn't want to go out, Boz, and so they gave me a call. And
so what? Who's the original singer for Bad Company?
Paul Rogers.
Paul Rogers.
Yeah, so this other guy.
Would they have singing. A fight?
They actually did. Yeah, back in the late 70s, they had a fight and fist.
Sure, it was over money.
No, I was drinking and drugs and whatever. I don't know. Anyways, Paul Rogers hasn't. I don't think he is drinking forever. So, and then they reformed after I left the band. The original band actually got together in 2001.
Well, I've seen I think it was on Palladium. They played some show on TV that with Paul Rogers singing. Mm-hmm. It's just like...
Oh, it's magical.
It's just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, at one time...
Even that guitar guy was amazing.
Well, he wasn't the original guy. That was Howard Leese from Heart. So four guys in bad company, Paul Rogers, Mick Ralphs, who had a stroke about 3 years ago, and I guess is not doing well or not up to playing at least. Boz, the drummer, who passed away about 10 years ago. And then Simon Kirk was the drummer. And he was the drummer in Free when Paul Rogers was the singer. That was their right. band, you know, All Right Now. And so, but it was still an honor to play in the band, even though it was only two original members. You know, I rocked all over, you know, in front of, I don't know, 8,000 to 60,000 people, you know, at any given event.
So. How old are you?
Oh, my God. I'll be 60 in January.
So I just turned 51. I mean, it was just a great time. I mean, even though we're 9 years apart, but it was just a great time to grow up with music.
Oh, it was killer. I mean, the 70s and some of the 80s were amazing. I mean, you know, we're talking about Led Zeppelin and Bad Company and Pink Floyd. And it was really cool because those are all English bands I just named. Right, the English were so popular back then. Yes, and Genesis, and
but there was
Peter
also
Gabriel.
Like Styx.
Styx was awesome, and I got to be on tour with Tommy Shaw for almost 2 years while I was in Bad Company because he was in Damn Yankees.
Damn, that was a great band.
He was great.
Brad Gillis,
oh killer! They're back out again. Oh no, that was Night Ranger you're thinking of.
Yeah, but I think but Brad Gillis played for Damn Yankees.
No, that was Jack Blades, the bass player.
But I thought Brad Gillis played in Night.
That was Tommy Shaw, Ted Nugent, who I don't even want to talk about. Anyways, while I was on tour, I saw what happens. And anyway,
Brad Gillis also played for Ozzy.
Correct.
When Randy Rhodes died,
he
stepped in for a little bit.
Really nice guy. I met him. But the English the English rock stars I got to hang out with. You know, I got to meet, you know, my first week in Bad Company, I met David Gilmour from Pink Floyd and George Harrison. And, yeah, I mean, it was never-ending party with Boy George. You know what I mean? That was crazy. But it was all within the first week or so that I was in the band in England, walking around, hanging out with all the guys, you know.
So you were probably just walking around for the first couple weeks with your mouth wide open.
Are you kidding me? It was incredible. You know, I mean, I went from playing a bar, right? Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, literally 2 weeks from the phone call, I was in England auditioning for Bad Company.
Wow.
Got the job, came back after a week or 10 days, and then went to LA and did the video. Our video, Holy Water, was on MTV when MTV was cool. All the stuff's on my website, too.
www.paulcullen.com.
Rocks.
Rocks.
Yeah, there's no .com because some guy in England has it. But I love .rocks anyways.
That's a good idea.
Fitting. Yeah. So from the day I got the phone call, went to England audition, went and did the video in L.A. where they used to film MASH. Did the video, hung out there, party with all kinds of rock stars, and I can't even tell you. I mean, John Candy and Sam Kennison, and it was crazy. And then to Burlington, Vermont for 10 days to rehearse for the tour, and then I was out playing in front of thousands of people every night. So from the phone call to the first gig was 5 weeks, and those 5 weeks especially were, like, surreal, you know. And then, of course, still into the touring, I still wake up in the morning and go, where am I? I'm in Cincinnati. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm in Bad Company, you know, playing in front of 20,000 people tonight.
So does that ever get old?
I didn't think so. You know, maybe now at this age it could be, but certainly not at 30 years old.
I would think at 30.
If there's such a thing as too much fun, I was having too much fun. And, you know, things, happen for reasons, I guess. My mom told me that, but always told me that. But, you know, it was amazing to be on that level, but it was equally as horrible not to be on that level. You know,
right.
You don't just go from Bad Company and then play Irish Eyes and Lewis. You know what I mean? It's like, wow. And I did that. I came here 18 years ago on vacation, and then I ended up moving here 10 days later, mainly because I met who's now my wife, Bonnie, on the last night of my vacation. Mm. But I was going to come here anyways, I think, and I just came here quicker after meeting her. So, it's really tough to go from that really high level and you know, into a really low level. And you see that with musicians, actors, athletes, anybody that's tasted that sort of not only the stardom, which is awesome, but the money that comes with it and the respect that you get. You know?
Well, but I mean, I would think that there's probably some things that are a little bit more fulfilling in some of the smaller things that you do now than the ego kind of stuff that would be for playing for bad company, because that would just, I mean, you can't meet all those people, you know, they're all, I'm sure that the relationships you build now are much more intimate and a long, more long lasting today than probably back then, or maybe
yeah,
not.
Well, I mean, we had our handful of people that, you know, followed us around and we got to know, and friends of the band, you know, and, but you know, it's really cool now. It's really fulfilling now because I get to give people the ultimate experience in their home. So, you know,
you weren't taking a group to Tuscany when you're playing for Bad Company.
No, I wasn't. No, definitely not. No, and this life is very fulfilling, because of all that I do, you know, and the experience to have me come to your house and take over your kitchen and pour cool wines from Italy that I know the backstories, including my own from Tuscany. And then I play an intimate concert afterwards. There's nobody that does that. So from when I walk in the door, they're so excited that I'm coming, which I'm still blown away by. And then we have this amazing time, and they're hugging me and, you know, just loving every minute of it. And at the end, hug me and say goodbye. Yeah, it is very fulfilling and very, what's a good word? I don't want to say tiring, but exhausting sometimes when they do like 5 or 6 events in a row. But when I get to the event, I perk up and we're good to go, you know.
Isn't it a trip how, like, what seemed important as we were younger changes over, you know, the span of our life, you know? I mean, like I said, I'm 51. What used to be important back in those days isn't any, you know, like yeah. Now I like to make, you know, have enough time to make my kids lunch. You
right.
know, that's
right,
become
exactly.
very important. Right. You know, I'm like, how's that look, boys?
Yeah.
Does it taste good, son?
Mm-hmm.
Delicious, Dad. Thank you. You know, like,
sure.
It's these the silly things now that are what become important.
I love it. I love our nights off, for example. Like tonight, I have a night off, and I'm going to make a nice dinner for me and my wife, Bonnie, and we're going to sit down.
What's a nice dinner tonight?
Well, you know, I'm not sure what I'm going to make tonight. She did get some ribeyes, so today sounds like grill night, so I might do ribeyes with a salad, you know, very simple.
We did ribeyes on Friday from Fresh Market.
Yeah, they have great stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
Brother. Yeah. Well, I was telling somebody, I go, they're only $19.99 a pound. Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, so we're going to do that and have a nice bottle of wine and hang out with our doggy. We don't have kids together. We have dogs together. We've had like 5 or 6.
Do you
together.
Like football?
I do. You know, I'm from Buffalo, like I said, so that's my...
Well, tonight is Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I know. I won't be watching that tonight.
I don't even know who's playing.
I don't either. I don't really care.
I get fired up for football, but what I've learned is I like to watch shows about football.
Right, yeah.
The actual games aren't as exciting as I don't know. I imagine them to be amazing, and then when it comes time to watch them, I skip out and go do something different.
I'm actually more of a hockey fan. I like watching hockey. I like going to it. Being in Buffalo, you know, I grew up around that, so... But
do,
no.
you know, do you know Michelle Freeman?
Of course. Yeah.
Have you hit her up for tickets?
No, I haven't. I think I did maybe one time, but she ignored me. But that's okay.
I had coffee with her. She goes, you can always call and ask for tickets. I go, eh.
Yeah, she's never. Sweet. She, you know, I was friends with Matt Haley also. Mm-hmm. I played his celebration at Freeman Stage.
I was there.
Yeah, so I played Sympathy for the Devil. That was Matt's favorite song.
Was it his favorite song, or was it the last one he had listened to on his podcast?
Well, I mean, everybody said it was his favorite song, and then they asked me to do it, you know, between Scott and Michelle. They asked me if I would do it. I said, hell yeah. You know, I was just getting to know Matt. You know, that was, you know, on a level of 1 to 10, 10 is Michelle Freeman and Scott, all the people that really knew him, and mm-hmm. 1 is one that went to his restaurant, right? Mm-hmm. I was somewhere around 6 or 7. You know, I knew him. He respected me. I had coffee with him often, at least a couple times over at the Point. And I had my own wine from California 8 or 9 years ago, and we had coffee. He goes, is your wine in my restaurants? And I said, no. He goes, well, it will be tomorrow. He goes, nice. I can't believe that we don't have your wine and everything the way you support me in my restaurants and our friendship, that your wine is not in my restaurants. Yeah. So anyway, so that
he's
I love
a good guy.
He was great, man. I really glad I got to know him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, within those last couple of years before he passed. You know, and I don't think I've ever been affected by somebody I wasn't that close to about somebody's death. You know, really, I wrote a song actually. It's called Matthew, and And the only time, the first time I played it and I recorded it was at his favorite place in Tuscany, Manfredo's place that he was good friends with.
Yeah.
After Matt passed, I wrote the song. It's just an instrumental. And I recorded it at the Vineyard in Tuscany with a violinist from Italy who I've played with now 5 times. And I'll send you a link to it. It's pretty special. Pretty special. It's one of my favorite compositions. Nothing hard about it. No vocals, no lyrics, just pure music. And the violinist who played Alessandro Golini, he had never heard the song before. And I pressed record. I had my Apple MacBook Pro with a Yeti microphone I put in the middle of the room in the Vineyard and recorded it. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely send me a link. I'd love to hear it. Mm-hmm. I was talking to somebody about Matt. But, you know, it seems like every person that I talk to, I probably every person that's been on the podcast has a Matt Haley story. Mm-hmm. But Matt was always great because he made you feel like you were really his only friend.
Yeah.
And I think that's why he created a lot of special reactions out of people because, you know, it's a gift to be able to have a relationship with someone. Like, I remember, I'm like, I'm not your only friend?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. No, I agree. He had a really infectious personality, and you know, he was really honest, and you know, really really enjoyed our conversations, although not as many as most people, you know. You know, and then what he built and how he got there. In fact, I've actually become good friends with his brother Tommy,
okay,
who I didn't know until that celebration at Freeman Stage,
right?
And man, he freaked out, you know, when we met, and we've been good friends ever since.
I always say if I want to put things into perspective, real simple, and something Matt used to always tell me, he'd say, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, it should be fine.
I like that. I might actually have to live by that. Well, I think I have, actually.
Well, especially like a life you're living or a life I'm, you know, not living, but just, you know, I got a lot of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. You know, you're trying to do stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, it gets overwhelming. Another great lesson Matt taught me was he's like, you know, go check the mail every day. And when you get a bill, pay it that day and put it right back in the mailbox. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's dumb because, you know, it's not due. And he goes, listen, a $5 bill will turn into 50 by the end of the month in your head. Pay it, move on. And I've always done that.
That's pretty cool.
I pay the bills. When I get bills, I just pay them. Because if I don't, he's absolutely right. That bill, that $100 bill that I owe somebody turns into, you know, if I know it's in the mail, I'm like, oh my God, it's probably 100. You know, it feels like it's got the weight of $150. And then all of a sudden it's got the weight of $300.
All right, yeah.
So, you know, procrastinate was one of his things. Sarcasm, he used to do I learned a lot about sarcasm through Matt.
Yeah.
And, you know, being a victim. Mm-hmm. Guys like you and me, rules don't apply. He used to say, I'd laugh. What's that mean?
Yeah.
He goes, you're arrogant. Rules don't apply to us like other people. Well, and he just used to, my son's godfather, in fact. And,
really?
Yeah. Awesome. And he was just I learned a lot of great, but it's simple. Mm-hmm. Don't smoke crack. Don't pay for hookers and all, and life should work out just fine. And he's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I started this thing about 6 years ago, what I'm doing now. And I was doing cooking demos. I did one at the Cordry Center. I met a group of lovely people there that are followers. And then I did one at the Belmore Hotel. And it was, I think it was 6 years ago. And so...
He was alive.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. He was there. Him and his girlfriend at the time showed up. They actually showed. They were sitting in the front row. I got a couple great pictures of him. One of him and I, me talking to him while he's sitting down, you know, while I'm standing up. And the tagline I said was, he said, stick to your guitar or whatever. But I did a cooking demo, and he, with my mom's pasta vizzul soup, you know, and we had like 30 people there in the courtyard. It was really fun. I love doing stuff like that too. But he went home that night, and, you know, because he didn't drink. And he went home that night and made pasta vizzul and texted me a picture of it.
And he's great. That's the other little things he would do. You know, like my mom, we grew up, you know, I grew up in New Mexico, and my mom had this great chicken enchilada green chili chicken enchiladas. And he came over one night or something, and we ate it. And he's like, this is so good. And then he called my mom. He's like, I need that recipe.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when he had, not Papa Grande's, but what was the place over there by the Rudder? He was just associated with it.
Oh, yeah. The taco place?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
He's like, we're going to put this on the menu. Mm-hmm. And my mom was like, oh, my gosh.
That's so awesome. Cool.
And he put it on the menu.
That's awesome. Yeah, he actually made the soup that night and sent me a picture of it. And I thought that was the coolest, you know, that he actually went out of his way. And he had a blast. And he actually texted me and said, dude, you've got something here. In fact, he told Scott Kamerer that, you know, I had something and, you know, we should maybe talk about something we can do. I'm not sure what it was because we never got that far.
Right.
But yeah, no, that was an honor to have him there. And I was just kind of starting out doing what I do. Now it'd be a blast because I know a heck of a lot more after cooking for over 6,000 people in the last couple of years.
Yeah. Well, cooking's nice, man. It's nice when you can make a nice meal for people. It's like, it makes a universal smile, right?
Yep.
Food.
For sure. You know, and I know enough about Italian food to turn them on to different things, you know, and with backstories, just like I was talking about with the wines, it's having a backstory and talking about this is the way my grandmother made it or my mom or this is how I learned it in Italy or I cooked with a chef or, you know, and it's fun. And Italian food is so comforting, you know, and it makes people feel good and relaxed.
Well, my sister-in-law, she lives up in New Jersey, but she comes down and she's a big time cook. You know, she works at a doctor's office, but she just can make hats and sausage and peppers and, you know, mozzarella. She's just great with that stuff. And whenever I know she's coming down, I know it's going to be a long weekend.
Well, bring her by my kitchen. You know, I have Paul's Kitchen now. It's in Lewis.
Where's it at?
It's so if you went from the north and you got to on Route 1 and you were going south.
Going towards the beach.
There's Bob Evans on your right.
Yep.
And Acme. Make a right there. That's Postal Road that turns into Cedar Grove. I'm exactly 2 miles from Bob Evans.
Up. West.
Out. Yep. West. Correct. Going toward Millsboro.
I have trouble figuring out which way is west.
It's kind of funky. Yeah. It runs. So Cedar Grove runs parallel to 24.
Right.
Right. So you make a right before 24 on Cedar Grove.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I was just saying. Still, I get screwed up with the west.
It is. Yeah, it's west.
So you make a right at Bob Evans and you go what? Yeah. Up past?
2 miles past the towing company.
Okay.
On the corner or that curve. And I'm right there on the left, right in front of Simplicity Salon.
Okay.
So that used to be a bar way back when. It closed and the kitchen's always been there. So I took over the kitchen a year and a half ago. It's 300 square feet, but it's commercial approved. So we make our own products there, like Paul's Sausage. And then I took the patio and put a tent and a fence around it. We do events there. We do Bloody Mary Sunday every Sunday, which is associated with our market that we do on Sunday. And we sell all our products, which I have my own olive oil. I have amazing bread, ciabatta bread that we make there. Tomatoes from Italy. It's really cool. And I do pop-up dinners there also. So kind of like chef's table stuff.
So a couple nights a week, 5 nights a week?
Well, I'm so busy right now doing in-home dining, we don't do it as much as we'd like to, but we're going to start doing cooking lessons. Chef Roberto is going to start doing homemade pasta lessons, and we've got a lot planned for the place, but we're just kind of getting it up and running, you know, within the last couple months.
You should do a food podcast.
Yeah, I could. There's a lot of people doing those, though.
Who? Name them.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
So, Paul's Kitchen is awesome. We do a lot of stuff there.
But there's not a lot of people doing Paul Colon podcasts.
There's not. Yeah.
That's.
I remember. I want to do video.
That's right. You're going to do video. Yeah. Okay.
We'll I'm going go for the that. YouTube now. Actually, I just got taken on as a client by somebody that used to market and manage Top Chef on the Bravo channel.
Mm-hmm.
And she's taking me as a client. She's already got her fingers out there for me to be doing something cool in the TV TV world. Yeah.
Well, when you become big and famous, we'll have you back on the podcast.
Okay, sounds good.
Keep bringing you back.
Well, maybe I'll have you on my TV show.
Ooh, I'd like that. Yeah. I'm afraid. I might get a bit. My wife says my head gets big.
Yeah.
Somebody texted me the other day and they asked me if they wanted to do a podcast and they said I'm the podcast pro. I'm like, really?
Wow.
And she goes, take it easy. I go, sorry. I'm not a podcast pro. I just
not yet. How many you got under your belt now?
How many 90? Podcasts? This will probably be 91. Well, probably 93.
Yeah.
I'm not a pro.
Yeah.
The fun thing about this kind of stuff is, you know, it is what it is. There is no pro.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
You just do. Yeah. someone was saying, well, you got to be careful. You don't have too many people doing podcasts. I go, listen, you never know what's going to, you know, attract somebody's attention to a person doing a podcast.
Sure.
A friend of mine, he's like, oh, I love these podcasts I listen to. I'm not a big fan of them.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know what combination is. So I just let people try. Throw everything at the wall, see what sticks. Pasta.
Yeah. Hey, I just did that with my company a couple of years ago. Somebody had me over for dinner or had me cook for their wife's birthday party. And then, you know, 4 years later, you know, went from 2014, we cooked for 15 groups. And last year we did 203.
Jeez.
It's crazy. I can't even, I'm so blown away by that. But in the same sense, I'm trying to take sort of advantage of the popularity by having my own products. I've got great mentors in my friend Jim from the SCORE organization. He's helping me. I've got my financial advisors watching over me. We got like so many people watching to make sure that I keep going and keep building the brand.
Yeah. Well, but because I remember when the podcast was starting. I mean, how do you separate yourself from the brand? Because what happens if you want to sell the brand?
Well, Paul's Kitchen is the new brand, right?
Right.
I can't replace Paul Cullen coming to your house and cooking for you.
Nope.
That's a whole different thing, right?
Yeah, but that's not that's not 7 days a week.
I'm getting ready to do. I have a couple days off after Tuscany, and we start on Friday. We're doing 9 events in 10 days in people's houses. So that is pretty intense. But Paul's Kitchen is the brand that, like, I wasn't there Sunday, and we had a great market. People know now to come there. With the Milton Historical Society, every Sunday we do Bloody Mary Sunday. So we get a gathering license. We can serve Bloody Mary wine, champagne. But then we can have our Italian sausage on the grill. While I'm here, I do breakfast sausage with an egg on it. And people are, they're loving it. They're coming at 10:45 before we open to grab their 6 seats outside. And I usually have musicians play, you know.
Do you sell dipping sauce for the sausage?
Dipping sauce? No, I do peppers and onions for the sausage.
When we lived in San Diego, my parents used to buy these amazing sausages, and they'd dip it in this, like, amazing mustard.
Well, I have mustard from Buffalo. I sell. I'm the only one.
Okay, you got some special sauce.
Well, what I do, I didn't call it sauce.
It's not McDonald's dipping sauce.
We put it on the sub. You know, it's like a sub roll.
Okay.
And the sausage goes on there with the mustard and peppers and onions, if you like.
Mm.
Yeah. Then I have these amazing hot dogs from Buffalo, too, that I'm the only one around that has them, too. Because, you know, I have that Buffalo connection. So.
There's a place, my wife is from New Rochelle, New York, mm-hmm. and there's a place up there, I didn't know we were going to have hot dog talk, or I would have remembered the name, but there's a place up there that's been around for a couple, 100-something years, and whenever we go there, we have to go eat these hot dogs,
right.
And they slice them open, they cook them on the grill, they're just amazing.
So you got to come by my kitchen and have a hot dog. You tell me what the difference is.
Well, you know what the difference is? Part of the reason that it's amazing is because they make this special mustard that actually has pickles in it.
Oh, pickles. Yeah. So this company does the same thing. It's horseradish and pickles. It's like a pickle relish mustard. It's so good. In fact, I'm actually getting hungry just thinking about it. Because those hot dogs are amazing. They're called Salem's. And I've been talking to the marketing guy, and they want me to start posting on social media when we cook them. And
are they salty?
It's crazy. No.
God, I can't.
No. No.
I don't know why they have to ruin hot dogs.
Well, because they need to because they don't taste good.
The preserve.
Right? Yeah,
they need to preserve it.
These are cool. So we grill up sausages and hot dogs. We have Bloody Marys for those.
I'm going to text my wife while you're talking. I'm paying attention. I want to find out the name
of them, yeah.
I'm listening. Don't be offended.
No problem. No,
I want to have a part of this conversation. Yeah. I'm listening.
So the brand Paul Cullen is we're moving it to Paul's Kitchen also, so we can keep things going. You know, when I'm not here or when I'm busy. So, you know, in the kitchen we're having, like I said, cooking classes. We're going to do wine education. I want people to learn more about where the juice comes from and the backstories and all that. We call it an Epicurean Education Center.
Nice.
So we just took over. So I said we had 300 square feet, and September 1st, we took over another 900. So now I have 1,200 with these cool garage doors that open up from the kitchen into the main room. So, yeah, we're going to do more dinners, like pop-up dinners, And one of them, we did it with the Milton Historical Society, you know, as the beneficiary. And we did 16 people out on the patio. And I did a 5-course Italian dinner. And then played a concert afterwards.
It sounds awesome. I'm going to have to come check out this place because it sounds like you got something going
on. It's super cool. And it's out in the middle of kind of nowhere. It's before Robinsonville Road. So it's kind of like before it gets too busy out there, we're having, I hope it gets busier out there. But we have residential neighborhoods all around us.
It's funny. When I opened this salon, oh, wait a minute. She texted me. It's called Dirty Water Dog. That's not it.
Dirty Water.
Walters. Yes. Oh, Walters. Thank you. Yes.
Oh, okay. No, I don't know.
It's called Walters.
Oh, okay.
They actually sell the mustard I don't know where they sell it. Never mind. But back to the point. So when I opened the salon 10 years ago, you know, I had worked at Bad Hair Day and I worked at Bling and, sure. you know, whatever reasons, you know, it was time to go out on my own.
Mm-hmm.
It's always kind of what I had wanted.
Sure.
This is where I got stuck. 10 years ago, I used to call this the island of unwanted toys
mm-hmm.
because nothing was going on out here.
Sure. Was Kindle here?
Kindle was here.
They were only here for a bit, I know, because I used to play music right by, remember that kettle fireplace?
I love
it. Oh, my God.
I wish they were still
and then
here.
That one guy took it over, mentioning no names, and took the kettle fireplace out of there. I mean, come on, that was like the coolest part of it.
Well, you know, that I think it's over at Crooked Hammock.
I think you're right. I think I did hear about that.
It didn't get scrapped.
Yeah, but it was so cool over there. I mean, I understood, you know, Matt, you know, got to be downtown where all his restaurants are, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, actually, Paul's Kitchen was almost at the end here, you know, where that breakfast nook place is or whatever.
Yeah, I looked. They're getting ready to open up. It's called the Breakfast Nook.
Cool.
Or, something like that.
Something like that. I think I just looked in the window. It looked like they were doing
it. It ain't open yet, so we don't have to get it right. But when it gets open, we'll have to get it right.
You have to have them on for the podcast. So I looked at that 2 years ago, and then I found the place where I was, which I really love because I'm kind of out in the country, and it's got parking, lots of parking.
Well, and what you said, it's hard to think ahead. You know, it's hard to be, you know, ahead of the game. And maybe you nailed it because apparently nothing's stopping. You know,
no,
they're gonna just
no,
keep
definitely
building.
Not. Oh no, they're not. I just saw another complex over on I think it was Beaver Dam Road. I'm like, oh my God, it's right on 24, right where I live, right where 24 and Burton's Pond is, that right across the street there.
Well, yeah. We took our daughter to a birthday party at the Coastal Club.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Oh, I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Preston, Shell, those guys, they nailed it.
They did. That's a cool place.
Well, and the pool's amazing, but apparently the pool's not part of living there. Apparently it's separate.
Oh, is it?
I guess. I don't want to start any rumors.
I've cooked in there a handful of times so far.
It's beautiful, but I didn't realize that you can actually stay there. You can stay there for 7 nights.
Oh, can you?
It's like a resort.
Wow. I didn't even know that.
Well, we just had gone to Breathless in Mexico, and I'm like, you know, we should have a resort in Delaware. Mm-hmm. Just out in the cornfield, a giant, big pools
right,
resort, and apparently that's kind of what Coastal Club is.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, we're getting ready to market to all the, because they're close to my kitchen, you know, about, like 5 minutes away at the most. Start marketing, getting people in on Sundays that are in the residence in that area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're getting a lot of people from Retreat at Love Creek, which is right on the corner of Cedar Grove and Robinsonville Road. We're getting them, and I love it because we're kind of hard to find, and the signage is, whatever, you know. I don't mind being that sort of hidden gem.
Maybe you should be a sponsor of the Rehoboth Social Podcast.
Really?
There's a sponsor page right
I saw that. I like how you have that right in front of me. That's
well, it's
cool,
not, man. It wasn't there for you, honestly. But honestly, the price, look how much we charge for advertising. It's on the back.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
That's not bad, right?
No, not at all.
Not that it would work. Maybe it wouldn't work for you, but you know, the idea is really about trying to build small business, help small business.
Luckily, the the word of mouth for my in-home dining is unmatched as far as advertising goes. Yeah,
it's fine, Paul.
Yep,
I got you.
I know.
I hear you.
Yep, but I might need some for cooking classes.
There you go, Paul. That's the spirit.
That's the spirit. I am on your show. I got to be.
Actually, that wasn't there for you. So, but I'll say it. We charge $100 a month for 4 reads on the podcast. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, that seems like so much money. But then I'm like, it's really not very much money.
Hey, as long as people are paying for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So out there at this new place that you're going to have, you're going to start doing dinners?
Uh-huh.
Is that how the events are going to work?
Yeah, for sure. We can do them there. I call the pop-up on the patio. So it's chef's table dinners and patio dinners. You know, it's not a restaurant. I'm not going to be. I won't be. It's not set up to be that. It's a market that we can do events in. It's like a mini event center.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, eventually I'd like to get to a point where I'm just doing dinners there on Saturdays, every Saturday, and then be able to, bounce around, because we go all over. I'm going to Chicago. I just put it on Facebook to my Chicago friends. I'm going to be in Chicago in October cooking for people.
Wow.
This year so far, I've been to Costa Rica. I cook for people there. And
so what do you just pair, like join up at the restaurant and then they let you come in and you can kind of bring your people in and they give you the kitchen for the night?
Sometimes that happens that way. Most of the time, depending on the situation, right. Like Costa Rica, I prepped everything in the place where I was staying. And we cooked for the Restore Anderson Windows group. They were doing a yearly trek to Costa Rica. And the CEO is a big bad company fan. And through their service, which is Vince Connections, they know me and I've cooked for them. So they suggested you should have Paul come and cook the last dinner for the 26 people in Costa Rica. So they flew me there on a Sunday. I cooked on Monday and flew back on Tuesday.
But you're just Paul Cullen. You're not Paul Cullen that played in Bad Company. I mean, I never even knew that. I mean, that's not yours. Do you put that out there sometimes?
Well, of course I put it out there. I played in the band.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, so Paul Cullen played in Bad Company. You want to have him come to your house and cook, you know? I mean, I didn't get any, not to go into detail, but I didn't get any royalties or residuals from that.
Right.
I am now because I can use it. I played in the band. And that gets me... people love that fact that I'm coming to your house and I'm cooking for you, pouring wine and playing a concert, and I played in Bad Company.
Right.
It's a cool thing for people. You know?
It is cool.
Would it be for me just to not have that underneath my name? Yeah, it'd be great, you know. But while the business is building, you know, I'm able to use it and I use it.
I was gonna say I've never heard that. I've never heard that. I see you on Facebook and Instagram as Paul Cullen. A musician. I know you're involved with cooking and stuff, but I've never seen Paul Cullen, who played in Bad Company.
I'm not sure where you're looking, but it's everywhere.
I guess.
But no, that's cool though, and that's cool because I still
it doesn't say it on your shirt.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah,
no.
So it's no. Not. My hat's off to you because honestly, some people would be like Paul Cullen, who played in Bad Company. That's all they would be out there. You've been around for a while, so
18 years.
Yeah, I've never heard that.
Wow,
that's somebody just said that. I think I just read that you played in Bad Company, but
right.
I didn't know.
Well,
that.
The cool part now is too.
I'm glad.
I get people that go on the website. It's on there that I played there, but they sometimes miss it, and then they'll hire me to cook anyways, and that's pretty cool. And I know that when I get there because they don't talk a lot. They're just kind of whatever to themselves, and then I'm like, you know what? I don't think they know. You know, so I'll tell them, and then all of a sudden they're texting all their friends. You know, it still is cool, even though it was a long time ago. I played with the band, and it still is cool to have me there. If you're a music or a Bad Company fan, and it's lovely to brag about, right? Oh my God, I got Paul Cullen coming over to cook for my birthday, my 50th birthday for 40 people.
Well, I guarantee it's now going to be called the Rehoboth Social Podcast. Who had Paul Cullen on that was in Bad Company? We're going to milk that.
You can do whatever you want. You know, I played with him a short time, but you know what? I did play with him, and I think that's pretty funny.
I wish you'd have brought your guitar, because I could sing some Bad Company.
Can you?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh.
I'm a karaoke master.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good. I'll make sure I bring my guitar next time.
Did you just look at the sky, Paul?
No, I was looking at the Joker up there.
I think you just looked
looking
at your
the Joker.
Bro, I don't appreciate that.
Bro, you got
that.
The Joker.
I.
And you got you got all kinds of cool stuff up there.
I think you checked your brain. I just rolled your high so hard that you checked your brain.
It hurt. No, so man, I would love for you to sing Bad Company while I play guitar. That would
I'm
be
kidding.
So cool.
I'm just kidding. I can sing Bad Company, but I'm just sure kidding. I don't want to be your next singer. I've got enough going on. We have fun.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah, it sounds like you have no room for a new singer.
No, unless you can prep, unless you're a sous chef.
And I'm not. Yeah. I have enough prep with my kids.
Yeah.
So what's the fall like for Paul and the music? Is it just... I know you got some trips planned. I mean, but is fall slow for you, or is this like one of your best?
Oh, God, man, no.
Because I love the fall.
March is like seems to be our slowest month of the whole year. The cool part is in the summer, and it seems like the fall now because I'm doing events, you know, cooking for people on Monday and Tuesdays, which is usually not the case, except if you're on vacation for the whole week. I get a lot of those, you know. So they're like, hey, do you have, you know, Monday, July 12th open. I'm like, yeah. And I'd like to work on that, Dave. Thank you. You know, because the summer we try to, you know, do as much as we can. Actually, all the time we do that. What am I saying, the summer? But we do pick up weekday gigs. And then I say that. And then about the summer, and September is like crazy. I have Tuesday, Monday, Wednesday gigs for like the whole month of September.
So you still play at restaurants?
I do not.
You don't
I have
that.
Not played at a restaurant in probably 3 or 4 years.
Okay. So that's kind of, you're winding that up.
You know what? When the whole in-home dining started, which is 2014, I was still playing restaurants. And I love playing places like the Back Porch Cafe. And that's just a lovely gig. But I don't do those anymore because I'm so busy doing what I do. And, you know, I got to say, you know, restaurants are only, and musicians know, a lot of people know, they can only pay so much.
Right.
I'm not going to bring an extra 100 people in the Back Porch Cafe where they're going to give me more money.
Right.
They already have their budget. It's already set. You know, when I go in and do in-home dining and I cook for 20 people, it starts at $95 a head. So you do the math.
Well, and all that, you know, all that playing at restaurants, that's kind of the foundation for going to where you're at now. I mean,
it kind of is. Yeah. I think more the foundation for me was when I had my own wine from California, I was doing events in people's homes and then kind of dabbling in the food part of it. So, but it's great being connected with all those restaurants. And when I did my wine, actually, from California, I got a lot of respect. Somebody like Matt Haley had my wine. Back Porch Cafe had it, Amuse. I mean, a lot of people had the wine, you know, Naj had it. So I got to know those, you know, I got to know them better, I guess, because of that.
Yeah. What would you like out of your wine? I mean, one day, because I had Karen on.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, it's a hustle.
I love Karen. Oh, it is.
The wine game is a hustle.
Mine is not. You know, mine is, I get to put it where I need to have it put, which it's only in great restaurants like Heirloom and Amuse. Zero, you know, places, Palette, you know, those are my friends' places, and those are award-winning places. That's where I want my wine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a position where I don't have to have it everywhere.
Right.
I just have it where I want it, and I love that part. It's because of the you know, the partnership I have with the winery and the importer. You know, this is a lot different than somebody like Karen who owns the vineyard.
Right.
They got to sell wine. I mean, they really need to build a brand for now and for the future. Mine is just part of my brand down at the bottom with my travel, right? I have travel, I have wine, I have Paul's Kitchen, and that's all under my brand, Paul Cullen brand, you know, so.
Well, I'm glad I don't drink anymore, but I wish that there was times that, you know, I wish I sat down and enjoyed one glass of wine, you know, it never works out like that for me.
Sure,
but,
sure.
You know, I do miss, I just started drinking black coffee. I drank coffee with cream and sugar for years. Decided I really was just trying to get off sugar. And I've truly opened up my whole world as far as now drinking black coffee because it's not wine, but it's the same kind of thing.
Pretty darn cool. I don't know. Have you ever had an espresso machine?
I don't have an espresso machine.
Not espresso, Ness, N-E-S. It's
Nespresso.
It's like a Keurig, except it spins inside the disc, and it is the best coffee I've ever had in my house. Yeah, I mean, truly, and maybe in some coffee shops. It's an Italian company called Nespresso, and we just got it about 2 months ago. I couldn't wait to get home to have my Nespresso this morning.
It's so good.
What it does is it spins the hot water in the disc. Its disc is similar to a Keurig, except it's flatter.
All right.
And it shoots out coffee foam first, not milk, not like you're doing a cappuccino, coffee foam.
Yeah.
And then the hot coffee goes in below it and it raises up the foam to the top. You got to have a glass cup so you can see how it looks. And so your first sip is this beautiful coffee foam touching your lips and your nose and drink the coffee. It's amazing. It's the best. Nespresso. I should be
Nespresso salesman.
I know, exactly.
Well, but the point of really of that was is that you know what I used to think was crappy coffee, I've learned that I really enjoy.
Sure.
And which I used to think was really good, I've learned that is not.
Sure.
Or whether it's not, it's just not for black coffee.
Right.
You know, it's good with a bunch of milk and sugar.
Yeah, and wines that way. You know, I love the backstory of the wine and the passion from the winemaker, and then how it pairs with the wines. Truly, so your grapes are grown in this piece of property within, say, 2 miles of this circumference of 2 miles. So the cow's over there eating the grass, and so you might be eating the cow, or you might be eating the cheese from that from that. And then the farmer's growing the tomatoes right over here. And, you know, so it's all, you know, perfect pairing is regions in Italy. They've been eating and drinking the same foods from that land. I mean, yeah. It's just like, there's a science to it too, you know, which is awesome. And I'm learning more about that, you know, as far as acidity and salt and sweetness and all that, how you pair wines. But it's so amazing to have the wine from the region that you're having the dish from, you know.
Well,
it's,
and you talk, I mean, they talk about like honey. They say you should eat honey, but only honey that's, you know, from our area. It helps with like allergies or, you know, fighting off things, but it's sure. Only when it's been the honey from our region.
Yeah. And that's that. It's called the slow food movement, which started way back in Italy a long time ago, back in Torino.
Slow food movement.
Yeah,
like
slow
that.
Food. Everything's slow. And when you go to Italy, that's how you eat. You don't go into a restaurant, maybe some in the touristy areas, but they don't want, normally when you go into a family restaurant in Italy, that's your table for the night, right? You don't have to worry about another reservation coming in and 45 minutes or an hour and a half.
Right.
They give you the table for the night. And it's all about the experience, you know, and eating slow and eating smaller portions, eating non-processed foods, you know. I mean, I went over there. I was there for 8 days. I gained a half a pound.
Right.
And we ate a lot. And then you walk a lot too. But the point was I was making is it's all about enjoying the foods from your area, you know, and everything. And we're so lucky. Oh, my God, Bennett's peaches and, you know, Totem Farms tomatoes and, you know, I mean, there's so many great. I mean, we do the market every Tuesday in Rehoboth.
Yeah.
Where they're selling our products.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because, you know, processed foods are killing us.
Yeah. Well, they have been. That's why that's the obesity. Yeah, it is. In Italy, yeah. I mean, you run into that. But normally people are in very good shape. And, you know, one of those, they drink digestives, you know, grappa and whatever else they drink. But main part of it is it's all
like a probiotic.
Stuff, yeah, it's all stuff from your area, you mm-hmm. know. And, you know, they don't travel, the foods don't travel too far in Italy. They're eating right around where you are. You know,
that's so nice.
It's awesome. Oh, my God.
Well, I know that the processed foods, and what the bad part about it is that processed foods are killing us, but then we associate processed food with regular food, so we don't want to consume regular food because we just think it's the amount and not the quality. And it's, I mean, I've talked about this before, but I really almost quit eating. You know, obviously you can't do that, but I had to really stop mm-hmm. and reset. And, you know, now I only eat like dinner.
Right.
So what it allowed me to do is start focusing on the quality of the dinner instead of just some bullshit stuff thrown together because it was dinner.
Right, exactly.
I had to start paying attention like, okay, if I'm going to eat this one meal, mm-hmm. how good are these green beans?
Right, exactly.
How good is this meat? Mm-hmm. So it's been, food's been I love food, but it's a crazy, crazy thing for me.
Yeah, I can see that.
Can you see that, Paul?
I can see that in your facial expression, in your eyes.
Yes, yeah, I can see that. So do you start firing up for summer again, spring, or is this, have a low time?
It just
is
happens. I mean, I got people booking August 6th of 2020. I'm like, I love you guys, but, you know, August put your name on there. I don't even know where I'm going to be in 2020.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's so many things going on right now. I'm actually backing off from booking things too far ahead because I don't want to have to cancel. And I'm definitely not taking any deposits because you don't know. You know, I've got a lot of things going on. I don't want to go out that far with this yet.
You know? Well, and so do you start planning? I mean, so we're coming into the fall. So is it like fall season-y stuff, seasonal stuff that you start focusing? As far as foods
sure.
and.
Always. That's what I love about the seasons. You know, now I'm going to switch more into soups, braising stuff, making fresh pasta, you know, long sauces that cook for a long time.
What's a dinner like for you? Like if I was to get an event, if I signed up for something and we were going to do it, let's say this weekend's coming up, what would be like a night for me?
Okay, so we get there, say, I got 12 people, we want to... I'm going to start the antipasti at 6 o'clock. That's when everybody's going to show up. And me and antipasta. My assistant, Nina, will get there about 2 hours before. We wheel in. I got a toolbox that has all my utensils in it. Basically, we bring in what we need to cook with and that I need to serve with also.
And this would this be at my house?
Could be, yeah. Could be that. It could be if you're in a residential neighborhood, it could be the clubhouse or somebody else's house, yeah. Or my kitchen. You could say, hey, Paul, I want to bring 12 people to your kitchen.
Do I need to supply you with fire?
You do not.
Okay.
Yep.
So everything is prepped and ready.
Some of it is, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And then we have burners that we bring with us in case, you know, we're going to cook there also.
So it doesn't need to be a place that has a kitchen.
Not necessarily, no. Oh, I mean, cool. Most of the time we do. We do people's houses, right? You know, they want to have a dinner party at their house and invite a bunch of friends and family. So we'll get there 2 hours before. We'll start prepping, getting everything going. If you need glassware, dishes, flatware, napkins, just let us know. We'll bring them. If you got them, we'll use yours. I bring a big bag. My assistants call it the Beast. It has all my pots and pans in it, cutting boards, serving platters, everything that we need. Really, 90% of the time, we don't use anything from the house itself. We bring everything.
So, you come in and start pouring wine.
When the party starts, we start pouring wine and talking about it. We'll have a charcuterie board out there with cheese, and then we do crostinis with different things on it. We make our own ricotta cheese. And then
you make your own ricotta cheese?
Yeah, it's easy. It's just boiling milk.
Don't say that. It's easy. Takes months, Tom.
It takes months. I'll actually show you. So then about an hour in, we kind of feel it out. Everybody's kind of ready to sit down. We sit down for the salad or the soup. Mm-hmm. And then, I pair a wine with that, of course. And then they give you about 15, 20 minutes, and then we put the entree out there, mm-hmm. pair it with the wine, and then dessert. And sometimes people are pretty full by then. So
what's a
they'll do the dessert after.
What's a typical entree?
I
shouldn't say typical. Yeah. What might be an entree?
I love making chicken cacciatore. That's one of my favorite dishes. And chicken, and we use our sausage in there. Mm-hmm. We can do... other than that, I can do ravioli, or we can do risotto. Risotto is one of my favorite things to make.
I love risotto.
And I do a great job with that.
Reminds me of, I don't know. It's one of the best things, especially, like instead of like mashed potatoes or something.
Risotto is awesome. Or polenta. Polenta I use quite often too. It doesn't always have to be pasta. You know, of course, I run into a lot of gluten-free things. People that are either on a diet or they're celiacs, mostly they're on a diet. We ask for dietary restrictions, and then I make up the menu from there.
Nice.
And I don't tell anybody what it is until we get there.
Have you played yet during this session? I mean, have you picked up the guitar yet?
No, I have music. We bring a little speaker with us, so I have cool music playing throughout the first portion. And then, once we're done with the entree, usually we move to wherever I'm going to play, and it could be by the fireplace or outside by the fire pit. And Nina, my assistant, will serve up the dessert while I'm playing. And I play about 45, 50 minutes, maybe an hour, and play a lot of my own songs because since 2007, I've released 5 solo CDs.
Wow.
Yeah.
On iTunes?
I didn't even have one. Yeah, some of it's on iTunes. More of it, 2 or 3 of them are on Spotify. Nice. I actually like Spotify better because they actually will put your music on there.
Well, our podcast can be sitting next to your music on Spotify.
It could be. Hey. Yeah, for sure. You can connect. You could probably connect them, right?
Probably.
They probably associate
through name, Paul Colin. Mm-hmm. Do you like spicy food?
I'm middle of the road spicy. I don't like it over the top, but I like it. I like the zing, and a lot of Italian cooking is that way. Like you use like really fresh tomatoes in a tomato sauce with, say, shallots and garlic and fresh basil, and just put a little pepperoncini in that. And that like just makes it, it lifts that whole dish up to another level.
Well, yeah. I have a gift for you.
Okay.
Green chilies.
Okay.
From New Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So nice. I usually have 15, 20 pounds of green chili shipped to me.
Right, right.
And I roast them on the fire, and then I peel them, and then I freeze them in bags.
Right.
So oh, cool. People that have been coming on, you either can have a hat or some green chilies.
Oh, I got chilies. I don't need a hat.
Yeah, no, well, I'm not giving you. I'm going to give you the green chilies because they're delicious. And, if anybody's going to be able to do something with them, it should be you.
Awesome.
Maybe you can. Yeah. Well, and somebody else, there was another person, another chef on the podcast, and I asked her if she would help me figure out a green chili salsa recipe.
Right.
I don't know if you know one. If you have one, maybe text me or email me one.
Definitely. But it's great.
Like if you ever go to New Mexico, you can usually, instead of having ketchup, they usually have like a bowl of green chili, like you put on eggs.
Right, right, exactly.
So yeah, it's delicious.
Yeah.
Anybody that comes on this podcast, first of all, I say thanks.
You're welcome.
You never know what you're getting into. But I know you're a busy guy, so I really appreciate you taking the time to come and hang out with me. No, I didn't know anything about you. I learned a lot about you.
Cool.
I really appreciate it, and I hope we can consider ourselves friends
too. Oh, yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me. I love doing this stuff. I really do. And it's a good chance for people to get to know me better.
Exactly.
You know? And just like you or people that listen to your podcast.
Well, you know? and you know this, anytime you're building a brand, mm-hmm. it's a bitch. It's hard to build a brand.
It is.
And you need to associate with people that know and understand what it takes to build a brand. So, you know, hopefully you can share this with your friends your audience.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The podcast isn't going to go up for another week or so, but I'll let you know ahead of time.
Okay.
Our podcasts are on Spotify, iTunes,
awesome.
Rehoboth Social Facebook page.
What I can do is I'll do the link to the podcast and my, whatever you call it, folder or whatever, music also.
Absolutely. Yeah. And anytime you got something going on and you want to just come hang out, and maybe I'd love for you to bring the guitar.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that next
I wasn't
time.
Kidding.
I didn't even think about it, actually.
Well, Walt brought his guitar.
Right.
I'd love to have you for years. You know, I love Mr. Hetfield just because he's done such a great job with my kids. But
That's awesome.
And I'm not kidding, but I am kidding. I'm not trying to be your singer, but I do love singing. For some reason, I can just sing some Bad Company,
be awesome.
I won't do it on the air, but it was fun.
I don't care what I'll play the guitar part right. Yeah. And however you sing it is however you sing it. You know?
Well, I think we can make some effects with this.
Oh, we can. Well, that thing called auto-tune.
Now, bro, come on. Why you got to hit me like that?
Hey, I use it once in a while. I mean, I might sing something
auto-tune's
great.
Auto-tune's like plugging your nose when you eat someone's food. It makes it all sound
good. Oh, no, it's very good nowadays. You can't even tell.
And I love that. And I love food. I love music. And and what I really love the most is a guy that has a vision and tries to achieve it.
Thanks. I appreciate it. You know, it's been a process, man. I mean,
it's a tough world.
You know, I hit
there.
The bottom after Bad Company, and I could easily have done what other people have done, and I didn't do it. And when I met Bonnie, my wife, and I moved here, that was the beginning of my reinvention. I just didn't know it then. You know, I didn't know. I just kept doing things until things started to click, you know. And when I recorded my first CD in 2007, that was the beginning of my reinvention. And who knew it was going to take me to cooking for, you know, 5 or 6,000 people in the last 3 years all over the country and parts of the world. I would have never have known that. You know?
Well, and I think at some point we changed that bar of what we think is success. You know, we always base a lot of money around success. I know I do.
Sure.
Anybody that asks me about this podcast, are you making any money?
Right.
It's always money. I go, no, but I'm freaking having a good time and I'm happy.
Yeah.
And I'm meeting great people. So, you know, we changed that bar, and then all of a sudden success is whatever we want it to be.
It's been a blast. I'm truly blessed and honored. I know those two words are used a lot, but to be where I am today.
Too blessed to stress.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
Paul, I appreciate you coming on. Yep. Thank you, bro.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
All right, pal.
All right, see you.
Bye-bye.